Praise the Lord. Now, the Spirit of the Lord says to you that His promises are yes and amen. All His promises are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Take us there quickly. Praise the Lord. Okay. For all, not some, amen. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. To the glory of God through Him? No. Through us. Praise the Lord. All His promises are yes and amen. That means every scripture that you read and you attach yourself to it, it's yes and amen. Every prophetic word that you receive, even if it hasn't yet come to pass, the Bible says it is yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I need to. I'm wondering if I should go deep or I should be shallow. Praise the Lord. I was telling the Lord the other day that I don't like leaving, as a teacher, I don't like leaving people behind. And the Lord told me, that's not your job. To worry of who you're leaving behind. I'm the one who orchestrates feet to come. He said, just do as I've told you to do. So that's what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go into some semi-deep stuff. Semi-deep. Praise the Lord. Now, when Adam and Eve were created, let me start with Adam. When Adam was formed, according to scripture, and you've read your Bibles, the Bible says that God breathed into him a breath of life. The original language actually says breaths, plural. He breathed into him breaths of life. A connotation of the two types of life that men have. There's a life in your soul that is a connotation of blood. The Bible says, Leviticus 17 verse 11, that the life of a creature is in its blood. So there's a life that is a connotation as a result of the blood that you have. Then there's a life that is a result of the spirit that God gave. Praise the Lord. So God breathed into him breaths, plural, of life. Praise the living God. Now, while it doesn't say it in scripture, it doesn't say it in that particular verse or that particular chapter, the implication we get throughout the Bible is that when Adam was created, when God breathed into him a breath of life, everything that God created was linked to the life of man. Very important you get this. So God creates Adam, breathes into him a breath of life, and everything on the planet, he links the life of everything to the life of man. That's why, if you read through scripture, after Adam and Eve sinned, they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says, God first speaks to him and says, the day you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and bad, you shall surely die. When they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the entire planet dies along with man. Because your life is linked to creation. Very, very important you get what I'm saying. So that you can understand where we end up. Here, where we start is not where we end up. Praise the Lord. Now, so your life is linked to creation. In such a way that even if that's all you got today, and you went back and just meditated on that, you'd understand that money is made from trees. Paper, which comes from trees, which is linked to you. Now, praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so Adam and Eve are created. When they were created, the earth as it was went through a number of stages. Yes, the world after Adam and Eve sinned partook of evil through the knowledge of good and bad. So it partook of evil. But the world after Adam and Eve had fallen is different from the world after Genesis chapter 6, where the Bible says the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and came unto them, and they had intercourse and gave birth to Nephilim. The world right after Adam and Eve was evil, but it was nothing compared to the world after Genesis 6. Huh? Yes? But even that was nothing in comparison to the world after the flood. Because after the flood, evil spirits now roam the earth. Huh? So, the giants, some of you know, the giants, when they died in the flood because they did not have a spirit, okay, they became evil spirits. Before Genesis, before the flood, there were no evil spirits on earth. Hey, now we haven't even started. Okay, so I'll say again that there was a world after Adam fell that was evil. We know Cain killed the first murderer and all that. We see that. As a result of manipulation of the enemy, when Cain is contemplating on killing his brother, God comes to him, a fallen man, and says, sin is at your doorstep. Doorstep there, referring to the heart. Okay? And so, even though man was fallen, he still had some sort of communion with God. Yes? That's Genesis, before Genesis chapter 6. Then in Genesis chapter 6, men or daughters of men have intercourse with fallen angels. There's a reason I'm repeating this, because it's very important for where we're going. And so they give birth to Nephilim. Those Nephilims become the giants of our age, of those days, the stories that we hear. The world took on a different form then. But then after the flood, which was more than hundreds of years, after the flood, evil spirits begin to roam the earth. The entire book, the entire Old Testament, evil spirits are manipulating men, but they are a mystery to men at that time. Until Jesus shows up in the New Testament and starts casting out things from people. Yes? So all that time, people did not know. That's why if you look through the book of Job, Job does not know that there's an enemy out there causing all his chaos. So he attributes it to God. Because with the exception of a few, the devil and evil spirits were a mystery until Christ shows up. When he shows up, people see him casting things out, and they had a semblance. They knew that people were possessed, but in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it was a mystery. You with me? So the world went through a number of stages. Now, in the spirit world, knowledge is a privilege. Very important you get what I'm saying. Eh? In the heavenlies, in the spirit world, knowledge is a privilege. Now, what should I not say? Now, that's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says that Daniel and his friends had knowledge and skill far above the rest. Yes? Then it says, but of Daniel, he had knowledge and wisdom in all interpretation of dreams and visions. All. So he has a particular type of knowledge. Knowledge in the spirit realm is a privilege, because not everyone has it. Now, there are two types of knowledge. There is a carnal knowledge, a natural one. Then there is a divine or a spiritual knowledge. Amen. Yeah, you with me? That spiritual knowledge can be demonic or divine, connected to God. Yes? All source of knowledge on earth roots itself from the spirit world. That means no one here on earth knows something that did not originally come from the spirit. Yes? All knowledge comes from the spirit. But in the spirit world, knowledge is a privilege. That's why, and I have to explain this in a way that everyone can get it. If you look through scripture, the Bible says that Job, after going through all he went through, Job 38 verse 2, God shows up and says, who is this that darkens counsel with words that do not have knowledge? God shows up And that's the first thing he says. You're darkening counsel with words that don't have knowledge. In the Bible, Solomon goes to sleep in a dream, asks for wisdom and knowledge, and God says, you have asked rightly. Because in the spirit world, knowledge is a privilege. Not everyone has it. Huh? I'm heading somewhere. Huh? In the spirit world, knowledge is a privilege. Paul says, Romans chapter 10, he's writing about the Israelites. And he says, for they have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. They have a zeal, but it has no knowledge in it. Praise the Lord. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, could have said anything. Matthew 13, 11. He says, it has been given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking to them. They did not understand the weight of what he was saying. Because there was a privilege that was being bestowed to them that no man can just capture, not even any spirit. Yes? Things in the spirit that are mysteries or are secrets belong strictly to God until he gives them to men. I'm telling you, even the devil, there are things he does not know. Yes? 1 Corinthians 2, start from verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. Verse 8. And he says, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Who is he referring to? He's referring to spirits. Okay? For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There was something, there's a knowledge that spirits in the spirit world, demons have, but there's a knowledge they do not have that is only in the stewardship of God. I'm telling you, now I'm getting somewhere. I'm telling you, even angels, there are things they do not know. That's why the next verse is crucial for you. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen. Does it say human eye? Every single eye, angel, what, demon, they fall in that category. Eye has not seen, ear, human ear, has not heard, nor have entered into now the heart of man, the things of which God has prepared for those who love him. Then the next verse is important. 11. Quick. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. 12 now is to you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, here's the point. In the spirit world, there are things that God kept to himself that are called mysteries and secrets. Demons and the devil do not know certain things. Now, here's your importance. When God created man, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. This is a reference to Lucifer. Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. And he says, go on. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt up my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. So on and so forth. So this is Lucifer speaking. This is actually a quote from what he said. Eh? Now, let me first side note. The Bible is the inspiration of God. Yes? The words in the Bible are breathed of God. But not every word in the Bible is God speaking. Yes? Because here the devil is speaking. Huh? You get me? Okay. So, for you have said in your heart. Now, this is very important. Lucifer looks at a certain place where God is and wants that place. Long story short, he's sent down onto earth. Then God messes him up and gives you freely what he wants. Now, very important, because the Bible says in Psalms 8, Who is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you should... Then he says, for you have crowned him with glory. Everything he wanted, God just gave you freely. But now, it's important you get this, because Lucifer wanted to sit on a throne of God. But the Bible says in the book of Revelations, to him who overcomes, I will give to sit with me in my throne. What? Something someone was cast down for. You just wake up, you go around, you sit, smoke some weed, you do what? Okay, I don't know where that came from. Eh? Okay? And grace just carries you and puts you on the throne. Pop! And there is a mystery there, because it says, to him who overcomes, I will give to sit with me in my throne. Doesn't say on. You go and check it. That's a mystery for another day. Now, so what Lucifer wanted, God just places on man. Boom. God gives man, as many of you know, the earth as his domain. There's a certain mystery about the earth, because there are many planets in the galaxies. Many. Many of you, how many people here want to see angels? Now, you want to see angels, and they're different types, various glories, but I assure you, there are angels on the outskirts of the galaxies who want to see you. I assure you, you're a much more special breed. I assure you. You see, just like see a man or a woman of God that you honor, and you come and walk with them, and you get closer to them than other people. It is a privilege for an angel to be assigned here on earth. Now, and especially to you. I have to make sure I don't lose my track of thought here. What the Lord wants to say, that you see, God gave man dominion over the earth, linked everything that he created to the spirit of man. Okay? Now, after the fall, that's why later all creation longs for the manifestations of the sons. Because creation in essence actually did nothing. It was just captive to what we did through Adam. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to be speaking a number of mysteries here quickly. You need to catch them. So, God gives Adam dominion over the earth. Please understand that every demon, let me start like this, let me not use demons. Every angel, no matter how powerful, has no authority to chase the devil from earth. You guys, no angel. Actually, I want to, let me put it into your language. If you are a landlord, say amen.
Amen.
And your own rental, say amen.
Amen.
In Kololo, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, if you're a landlord, and then someone moves into one of your houses, okay? But it's disorganized inside. Even if you're the landlord, you have no right to enter and clean it up. You're with me? So God gives the earth to man. Pop! Sin is all over the earth. But God, even God himself, no right to come and organize what man has disorganized. Man has to do it. Yes? Now, the devil is also limited. He can't. So what does he do? In order to create a disorganization, he has to... Should I say this? Because there are a number of thoughts in my head. He has to possess or manipulate or infect humans. That's why the secret of fallen angels having intercourse with men was not just to mess up the seed. It was to have some level of authority on earth. You need to be part, you need to have humanness. You need to be humanity. So the angels come down. It's a plan. Actually, the book of Enoch, and I'll quote it. If you don't want me to quote it, close your ears. In the book of Enoch, it actually says that there were 200 angels that came down that fell. When those angels fell and decided to go unto the daughters of men, they made an oath. And in that oath, they declared that none of us shall turn back against what we have done. Now, hear me carefully. In the spirit world, words written or spoken are like nuclear bombs. And I need to get this. Here we just speak. Huh? Ah, look at that girl. Oh, what's wrong with her? Eh? In the spirit, especially when an oath is spoken, a being is bound to it. In fact, for language fails me, but the moment an oath is made in the spirit, energy is released to bind that spirit to the words that have been spoken. That's why, even when the angels fell, they can't turn back and say, I made a mistake, you know? Let me come back. Actually, I made a mistake. I didn't know. Satan psyched me. You understand? So, they are bound by those words in the spirit. One day I shall touch on that because it actually releases the importance of words. That's why the Bible says, Hebrews 6:13. That's what God says. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, and so he's bound by it. Then he says, verse 14, he says, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will, that is your portion. Take me to verse 18. What does he say? 18. Quick. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. 19 says, now the hope that we have is an anchor to our souls. Now, this is the importance. If in the spirit, a demon or a fallen angel can make an oath and is bound to it, imagine God. Amen. Now God then, every word spoken in scripture, every promise, Amen, is binding. Amen. That's why scripture then says, all his promises are yes, amen, and amen. Amen. Am I speaking over some people's heads? No. I'm not. Okay? So, Adam and Eve are given the planet. They hand over the keys to Lucifer. That's why later, Satan, standing before Jesus, says, all these have been given unto me. Jesus takes it back. Now, here's a secret you need to understand. That because the earth was given to man, man has that authority to deal with the devil. That angels do not. That's why, if you check Daniel, the book of Daniel, in the spirit, Michael is facing a prince. Yes? And defeats the prince of Persia. In the spirit. But when he's on earth, the Bible says that he had a discussion with the devil over Moses' body and rebukes him. Are you getting? He rebukes him. He doesn't fight. Because in the domain of earth, men must exercise authority. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says in the book of Jude, it says that when Enoch wrote, he said, Christ is coming back with 10,000 of his saints. Do you see any angels there? Jude, give me Jude verse 14. It's only one chapter. Don't ask which chapter, eh? Huh? Now when Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. That's the coming back of the Lord. Do you see any angels there? No. You guys. Because you are a human and you have the authority by God through Christ Jesus to deal with demons, spirits, and the devil. Amen. Yes? That's why when angels are operating here on earth, they must work with you. Absent of that. Amen. That's why when Jesus came, he had to come as a man. Yes. Now, let me submit to you that Jesus casting out demons was not because he was God. He was always God. But because he was man. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. Now, I told you knowledge in the spirit world is there are certain things in the spirit that are not for all men, that God keeps to himself. And then gives certain men who seek knowledge. The entire book of Proverbs is about ye seeking knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The entire book of Proverbs. Now, this is where I wanted to get to. You see, when the world was created, actually in Genesis chapter 6, when those angels came down and they had intercourse with the daughters of men, they began to teach men knowledge that they were not, that man was not supposed to have. Some of you already know this. Now, they teach men things that God, by divine orchestration, had ensured that man should not know. So all these things in your history that you know of, what they call the Bronze Age, you know? Eh, banange. Mumuakulawa. Okay. So, you Google, yeah? Bronze Age, yeah? Okay, the ages now. This is very important. There were things that were introduced, there were knowledges that were introduced within the lineage of men by spirits. That's why when you look through, even if you look at the world today, there are monuments that are built that men could not have built absent of spiritual aid. Yes? Especially pyramids and so on and so forth. Now, these spirits come and teach men these things. But you see, the plan of God was always that knowledge on earth is supposed to be progressive. You grow into knowledge. These demons or fallen angels come and give men something and knowledge too early. So they give men knowledge too early. Men then capture this knowledge. Very important, because it's crucial for how we're living today. Men capture this knowledge. Now, at that time, men were operating in ways that were supernatural, because they were operating in hand with fallen spirits. Yes? They had got a knowledge beyond their time. Now, from that day, when the angels fell and began to interlock with men, from that time, a knowledge was passed on to men. Please understand that what we know as civilization progressing, we're becoming more advanced, is actually a myth. Because every technology that is introduced was given at the beginning there in Genesis chapter 6. I don't know even. So, it is being released progressively. Yeah. Okay, let me explain. So, history as we know it, the history that you know, is both polluted and perverted. The history that you know, that you learned in school, that history, throw it out. Because a large percentage of it, you are fed. And you know there's a quote that says that a man, that history is written by the victors. So someone just went, wrote some things and says, this is it. And they set a foundation. Now, I ask you a question. Did John speak really? Was he the first person to discover the source of the Nile? The source of the Nile? Was Columbus the first person to discover America? Let me ask, the First and Second World War, what actually brought it into existence? What brought it? There was a plan behind it. Was Newton just sitting under a tree and an apple fell on his head? Did an apple really fall on his head? Now you guys need to get time, because the history that you've, that you've got, is a large majority of it is crafted. That's the word. A large majority of it. Now, please understand that from the day these fallen angels came and gave men certain secrets, from that very day, now the devil's plan was to ensure that these secrets are kept to a few, so that men would give their souls for that knowledge. I'm getting somewhere. So men could give their souls for that knowledge. So that history that we have, the history that you know, some individuals that are mentioned or accredited to having done certain things never did them. Some people stole technologies from other people. They stole ideas. There are chaps out there who are sharp. Okay? There are people in history who did not even exist. They were just created. One day, I'll touch on that. God, everyone knows them, but they did not exist. Because history is forged. It's written by the person who is the victor, who controls the narrative. You have no idea how many billions governments spend to keep the population uninformed. You have no idea how many billions governments, not this government, just governments spend to keep the populations uninformed. There's a quote, it says, a person who does not read papers or listen to the news is uninformed, but a person who does is misinformed. Praise the Lord. You say, Daniel Malinga. Praise the Lord. A person who does not read newspapers or listen to news is uninformed, but the person who does is misinformed. Because the narrative is coordinated, it's corrupted. Okay? We have polluted history. Polluted history means that what you know as the Bible, as angels coming down and they are, and having intercourse with daughters of men, what you know as that in scripture, history has it as Greek gods and Roman gods, and they quote unquote mythology. And so you go, you study, I'm studying mythology and philosophy of what? You understand? It's polluted history. Perverted history is history that has been changed in order to control the narrative. I'm telling you, there are things I can't say, but I'm telling you, there are narratives that have been corrupted. The history that we know has been controlled by men so that certain information doesn't come out. But you see, the Bible says, forever your word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Now here's the thing. Here, listen, child of God. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. That you see, in the spirit world, anything, actually in the natural, we call something an illusion if it's not real. In the spirit world, something is called an illusion when it's not true. So no matter how real it is, if it's not true, it's an illusion. Now, that's why it's important for you to understand that the enemy in this age, in this end time age, the most dangerous spirit is not the spirit. Some people have a problem with the spirit of prophecy. It's not the spirit of power. It's not the spirit. It's the spirit of deception. Most powerful spirit in this time and age. And therefore, to counter it, the most important gift is the gift of discerning of spirits. Most important. Because you see, gift of discerning spirits is not about just discerning demons. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4:16 that the truth is a spirit. Are you getting me? So, you need to sit somewhere and discern truth. Most important gift today. Let me tell you, what you know in society sectors, medicine, politics, education, even church, the deception has seeped in. And so much of what you know and you've taken on as the norm is actually a lie. And that's why you must be established in the word. Now, especially people who are called to the media sector, because that sector is upheld by lying. It's one thing to shout, oh my God, I'm media sector, media throne, amen. Then they put you there, and then you stand before a boss and says, write this untrue thing. You could lose your job. What do you do? The entire sector is based on lies. That means the weight of your responsibility as a person called to the media sector is big. Praise the Lord. Today I'm speaking jumbled stuff. Praise the Lord. You're with me? So the enemy upholds things by deception. Upholds things by deception. You see, remember what I said? Is that in the spirit, truth, anything that's untrue is an illusion. So I've spoken into your life and said, I see financial increase. And you see the way the spirit works is that the moment a prophecy is released, deception has to come. Huh? It has to come. So I've spoken a husband into your life. Then all of a sudden the guys that were around dry up. This is a fake man of God. Fake, total prophecy. Total fake prophecy. We've spoken into your life and said, I see you arising. And you know me. You know me. I don't speak things that I have not heard God say. Now, I speak into your life and someone else comes, testifies up here. And you're sitting there saying, it hasn't come to pass. It hasn't come to pass, man of God. That enemy just puts deception. And you see, that deception is real but untrue. Huh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Real but untrue. This is why it's very important for you to be established in the word. Very, very important. Because that's the only truth you can trust. I was telling someone the other day, the truth in the spirit. Do you know? Okay, let me say something. Because the Lord has whispered something to me. If I come to you and I say, you're going to receive a job, and in that job you're going to fly out and go and travel the world, and all of a sudden the thing that you are looking at dies, then automatically in your head you conclude prophecy dead. In the prophecy, did I say that your traveling is based on a project? No. Now I know who I'm talking to. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord establishes His word. It's forever settled. Amen. You will go. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. So the enemy orchestrates himself, orchestrates deception, just to ensure that he controls the narrative. Much of what you know, much of it is deception, total deception. There are people on the face of this earth who spend a lot of money to make sure that you don't know the truth. And you see, I want you to look at your natural history, the ones, especially the one you study, and know that alongside it, there is an alternative history that is linked to spiritual history. In other words, certain things are hidden because they are linked to spirits. And things that God wants people to know but are hidden. Now, praise the Lord. There is a knowledge on how to heal. There is a knowledge on how to call money. There is a knowledge on how to receive a husband. There is a knowledge. There are spiritual knowledges. Things that you tap into in the spirit. And the moment you know, you become a steward. Ochidina. It doesn't go. Are you with me? It doesn't go. Now, let me tell you for a fact that if you knew, take me to John chapter 1. I wasn't going to go there, but for the sake of time, let me go there. Now, remember what we went through? We said Lucifer tried to overtake God, and according to scripture, he was brought down. Yeah? And you see, that same spirit replicates itself in history. Okay? So after Lucifer fell, Nimrod comes up, tries to make himself like a god, he's brought down. Then you see through history, the spirit replicates itself. It replicates itself in Alexander the Great, in Napoleon. It replicates itself in Mussolini, replicates itself in Hitler, and it will replicate itself one more time in the Antichrist. Yes. You're with me? So it comes all the way from the original chap and keeps on replicating itself with the aim of becoming God. But every time the result is the same. Huh? Every time the result is the same. Now, John chapter 1 says, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word there is Logos. Now, most people know Rhema and Logos. Eh? And most people attribute Logos to written Word, which is not necessarily so. Because Jesus speaking said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. Now, for those, you've heard me say this, and I'm sure you've heard it before, that there's a difference between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and John chapter 1 verse 1. Because in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created. In John chapter 1, it's talking about a time before Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Now, when it says in the beginning, before creation, it's a time before creation. In the beginning was the Logos. God didn't speak there, neither did he write. So the Logos there can't be written. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is a time before God said anything in Genesis chapter 1. So when he says in the beginning was the Word, Logos can't just be written. It's about a Word that has life. Yeah? Life before written. Now, that means written Word and spoken Word derive themselves from life Word. Huh? You're with me? It's like, for example, oh, what example can I give? It's one thing for your father to give you a gift. It's another thing for him to love you in his heart. Huh? One initiates the other. But you don't see it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it says, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, life Word. Eh? And that Word was with God, and that Word was God, that life Word. Then there is a written Word, then there is a spoken Word, then there's a written Word. I'm really trying to summarize this. Now, when you speak in the Spirit, you orchestrate things, and things begin to come into existence. It's actually a sign of decree. But writing is more than just, oh my God, God has given us a Bible Logos. No. That Logos is linked to life Word. Yes. Now here's the truth. In the Spirit, anything that God writes is finished. Amen. Amen. Okay. Write these words upon your heart. Amen. With what pen? I'm trying very good. Okay. Let me say again. That you see, when you pray and you speak, you're releasing Rhema. When you meditate, you write. Now you guys. And once you write, it is finished. That's why if you read through scripture, the Bible says Jesus is the author, and the finisher. Now, I want to start teaching you. You need to spend a lot of time writing. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. In the spirit world, there is a knowledge. And that knowledge, God has made you a steward of this mystery. And he has given certain things to men. And you begin to understand. So, let me mess you up. Permission to mess you up. Eh? Okay. Let me ask you a question. When John was taken to heaven, the Bible says, and he had a voice behind him that was like thunder and lightning. And he turned, and it says, come up hither. Now, when he had that experience, what language was God speaking? English? Yeah. Greek? Yeah. What language? I'm messing you up now, yeah? What language? Paul is taken, like this. John is taken up to heaven. Revelations, the Bible says he hears 10 thunders say something. 7 thunders, they're 7, eh? He hears them say something, he's about to write. But then God tells him, don't write. What language were they speaking? You guys, what language? Now, this is, let me take you a bit deeper. The Bible says in tongues, it talks about the tongues of angels. Tongues, plural, there's more than one. Okay, now, eh? Can I bestow to you that you've been around for some time? I tell you that when God appears to you, or when you get an impression from God, He doesn't speak your language. I say, God knows Runyankore. And indeed, God knows Runyankore. Can the way she's doing it? And indeed, God is all knowing. But you see, in the spirit, there are languages in the spirit world. One day you experience that you see, permission to mess you up. But there are angels whose language is like wind. And I want to submit to you that there are times you will hear wind and think, it's a bit cold in here. What? Eh? There are times you hear thunders. Okay, let me. Because you see, and I know what I'm talking about. Because what happens is that when God comes, He speaks to your spirit. Amen. Your spirit interprets to you in your language. Amen. Yes? That's why one man of God can come and say, and the Lord told me, thou art my child. But for you, when the Lord is speaking to you, He says, na yegwe dani. And you're wondering, now, which God is this? Eh? Because in the spirit world, language is imparted to your spirit and interpreted to you in your language, in things that you understand. In the natural realm, when God is speaking, when He's imparting things on you, He puts impressions, He puts so many things to get you to understand. When you sleep, that language changes into pictures. Now I don't even know if I'm speaking to some people. I don't know. So what I'm just going to do, we shall mess you up from here and continue like that. Eh? There are languages in the spirit far beyond what you could ever imagine or understand. Far beyond. And you see, those languages, once you, it's like God has a love language with you. My language is not yours. And I'm not talking about that book that has five love languages. No. I'm not talking about five love languages. Eh? Though it could be fine. But I'm talking about something that is much deeper than expressions. I'm talking about things where God constantly comes to you in your way. It's your thing. And that's why I need you to understand. This is the truth from the Spirit. Every man has a relationship with God. And that relationship that they have with God produces a testimony and what Paul refers to as my gospel. Amen. Paul refers to my gospel. What he's saying there is that every experience you have with God creates a story about God in your life. Amen. You get what I'm saying? So, what that actually means is that you have a story of God in yours. You have a story of God in yours. You have a story of God in yours. Now, that day I call you up to speak and you say, I'm not deep. There's an experience you've had with God that I haven't. Amen. This isn't just pulpit stuff. That's why your testimony is extremely crucial. Because when God comes to you, He doesn't come the same way He came to Daniel. Amen. You with me? That's why we need you to speak. Amen. Naelewa. That's not tongues. Eh? That's Swahili. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Are you with me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Eh? The world as we know it is culminating into it is reaching a certain climax in the spirit. That's why the Bible says in the last days knowledge shall increase. The reason why knowledge is increasing is because the greatest privilege in the spirit is for men to know, especially in line with divine knowledge. It's the greatest privilege in the spirit. When God imparts upon you something, pop, and everyone else is wondering, how on earth did you tap into that? Now, it is a desire of the Lord that based on your call, based on who you're called to be, where you're called to go, that you develop a knowledge that is aligned to your path in life. You don't need to know seven thunder languages. You don't need to. There is yoga thing. Can you learn and say, let me tell you something. There's a wisdom the Lord gave me. Me, I've gone through things. Sit down, my child. Let me tell you. And so, the problem with human beings is that we often discard people based on whether they're man or God or not. And yet you don't know that when the Lord wants to get a message to you, often He'll use a vessel that looks like it does not have the thing, and yet it has the experience. That's why, for me personally, every person I meet, I'm careful how I treat them. Very careful how I treat them. Because I don't know where you're going to end up tomorrow. Huh? Let me tell you a funny story. I was with someone, and someone the other day, let me say it. So she told me she was at home sometime and had things banging in the house. So she goes those ends and says, "Are you for us?" Oh my God! Tears came out of my eyes. Okay, so are you for us or against us? Now that's not the part that made me laugh. After saying, she ran, didn't wait for the answer. Oh my God! I said, okay, people are very interesting. Anyway, that was a by the way. I just had to say that. And I promised the person I would say it. So I had to say it. Praise the Lord. You guys with me? Let me wind up. Eh? I want to wind up. Eh? I want to wind up and we leave this place. Because the time is up. Eh? Praise the Lord. I want to give one more scripture and we leave. Eh? And here's the point. Eh? By the way, as I look, I've emphasized that there's an authority you have because you're human. Eh? In other words, when you want a job, you don't beg. No, you guys, really. Do you know, if I could decrease the number of people that come to see me, I would have succeeded. Amen. In terms of getting you to your authority. Huh? Guy, you send me a message, Rabbi, I have a prophecy for you. I say, oh, glory to God. Radekai, speak, woman of God, speak. By the way, that is my biggest desire, to reduce the number of people that come, but to get you to a place where you go into your authority. So you're a human being, you have authority. There's no way you can say, I don't have a job, and then you beg. There's no way you can say, you don't have money, and then you beg. There's no way you can say, remember, everything is linked to you. Now, in the spirit world, words are so powerful, like I said, that the Bible says the tongue has power over life and death. Okay? There are only words of death and words of life. They're non-neutral words. They're non-neutral. And someone, I was telling someone that and I said, what about happy birthday? Man of God, isn't happy birthday neutral? Huh? Now, let me explain it. When you speak, the posture of your heart determines whether the words of life. Because someone can walk up to you, hate you with all their heart, and say happy birthday. Yeah? So, in the spirit, there are words of life and words of death. Every day, they orchestrate your pattern and your life. Every day. When you speak, because of the authority you have, you must train yourself to speak words of life, especially words of scripture. So, take for example, you approach some kind of nice lady and she says no. You walk away saying, surely goodness and mercy. Oh my God! I'm sorry, bad example. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You learn to orchestrate the words that you speak. Okay? Because they're words of life and words of death. Which brings me to this point. That if you knew, I need a scripture. I'm looking for a scripture. But if you knew that because you have that level of authority, the enemy has to get you to a place where you're clouded and you forget that authority. Now, I have to say this. When God created man, when he created Adam, Adam put everything. Adam, everything was given to him. All right? Now, the job that Adam had was to multiply and be fruitful. Yes? Now, here's what makes you stand out from demons and all those things. Here's why you're special. Okay? Then I'll end. Number one, humans are the only ones who can replicate a spirit. In other words, you give birth to a child and that child has a spirit of God. No other being in the universe multiplies God. That's one. No being. Number two, here's why you're special. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17 that if you're joined with God, you're one spirit with Him. No other being can say that. That they are one spirit with God. Now, one spirit means, the Bible says that God laughs. It says Jesus wept. That means you can feel the moods of God. You get it? No, an angel cannot say they are feeling what God is feeling. No, but you can. And that's why I was telling my partners that there are four different types of people. They're hearers, seers, discerners, and feelers. Hearers hear God audibly or in their spirits. Seers, God speaks to them through visions and dreams. They're all here. Discerners look at circumstances, join them together, and know this is what God is saying. And feelers, God speaks to them primarily through their body. Now, feelers especially feel the moods of God. Especially. So, you are one spirit with God. Thirdly, you are the only being that the Bible says will sit on a throne with Christ. No demon, no angel, no nothing can say that. Fourthly, and I'll end on this. Fourthly, you are creative. Let me assure you, you know that, just imagine, just cooking chicken, the different ways to cook chicken. Different ways. Eh? Before I got married, I was busy boasting, I'm a serious cook. Anyway, let's leave that. Eh? I just realized I'm throwing myself under the bus. Anyway, so human beings are by nature creativity. You are the closest to God when you're creative. You are the closest to God. That means writing creativity, poetry creativity, music creativity, any type of creativity, any imagination, you are closest to God when you're creative. That's the closest. Please understand that angels are not creative. Do you know that in the spirit, an angel can stand in one place for 1,000 years and be fine? Put you, man, in a place for 1,000, you discover 10,000 ways of standing. You know that? You stand like this, stand like this, stand like this. You understand? Because the creativity aspect was given to man. It's when you're the closest to God. That's why we say that when you sit down and think to yourself, you write down a plan, stop being mechanical. Allow your spirit to flow with creativity. The moment you start thinking about things that are beautiful, things that are wonderful, the moment you think about things like art, okay, it draws you. You might not need to pray in tongues for hours. I'm telling you. You want to enter the spirit world? If you do, just sometimes I just go to YouTube and just look at people who are being creative. Like, oh Lord, and my spirit connects. Amen. I know how to get revelation. Amen. You see, when I come here, I can just say, okay Lord, say something. Amen. But before I come, I watch comedy. You don't think I was here praying, huh? Before I came here? No, guys, no, I'm still a man of God. But let me assure you, before I came here, I was watching Friends. Why? Because I know when something is humorous, it's creative and so on. My spirit connects and I know when I'm ready. So I just come. Now I've met someone. And I'm not the only one who does it. I know other men of God who do it. So, now I've missed out. Some guys are just going to go watch comedy. They say, man of God said prayer and I'm not gone. Huh? Let me just go and watch porn. Yeah. And so some people got stumbled when I said I watch Big Bang. You'll be fine. I need to laugh. My guys, stop being religious, eh? My spiritual father watches Criminal Minds. Criminal Minds! What you guys ask? I just mess up people here, man. So you're there, you're thinking you're going to watch what? What are those things? The Passion of Christ. Come up hither. You guys, you're not making me finish. I have to finish. Let me tell you. That you know the Bible says where two or more agree, there shall I be amongst them. I said that last week. But if you begin to understand, say if you're a couple. There are couples who Bambi take themselves through a serious pattern of let us pray together every day. And you even get now if you can handle it, it's fine. But if you're going to frustrate just go take a walk. What are you talking about? And so the Lord joins himself to something where that's why nature is extremely important. Because you're there, people are saying, you go for what? Counseling. Now you must pray. If it's your pattern, now please pray. But you see, you can put your partner into something and even start hating each other. Now you just sit there yawning. And that's the reason why sons, children of pastors wander off. Because they try to introduce to them something in a very religious manner. Go sit with your child and say, man, what movie are you watching? Let's watch. Guys, you know spiritual things. Praise the Lord. Should I say this? I was telling some people, someone asked me, man of God, how do you get revelation? I said, usually I'll get a video game. Ladies, now video games are not just for 2-year-olds and okay, not 2-year-olds, 7-year-olds. Please understand that just like when a lady is young, she plays with a doll, she grows up, gets a real baby. You understand? So for us, that is from the Spirit of the Lord. Receive. So for us, it remains the same, irrespective of age. Anyway, so as I'm playing a video game, as I'm playing, and I can, because I learned the secrets of the spirit, that you see, usually what limits your entering into spiritual things is your mind blocks. So I occupy the mind. And when I occupy it, I pick things spiritual. So I can just be there playing video games, but I'm seeing visions. Now I've messed some chaps up because you think I'm going to a fasting what? I'm already small. How small do you want me? What word is this? I just don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. I've come to the end. So, remember that's the final thing. The reason why you're special is because you're creative. Angels cannot get bored, but you can. Boredom is a function, is an action that God is because you long for creativity. There's a godliness in you, and that's why I love sticking around people, especially fashion people who write nice things, creativity. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Now may God impart on you the knowledge you require for your path. In the name of Jesus.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.